Hey everyone, what is up? My name is Tony McGeehee, and you're listening to Emerging Entrepreneurs, the podcast made by an entrepreneur for entrepreneurs. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get started. Welcome back to episode 27. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome home. You guys are awesome, and thank you so much for joining me. I want to take a moment for those of you that are new to the podcast to head to my website, emergingpodcast.com. There you can find all past episodes of the podcast, my blog, and my brand new Create Your Own Podcast course. Click the link in the description or go to emergingpodcast.com to check it out. Now, moving on. Justin Nguyen is the CEO of Get Your Grind Up and co-host of the Young and Dumb podcast that focuses on changing the mindset around millennials. I actually just had the opportunity to be on Justin's podcast, so be sure to go check it out and listen to other episodes from the show. I'll put all the links in the description, so be sure to check that out. In this episode, Justin talks about where his drive and motivation comes from and how he continues to work hard in the face of adversity. He talks about how and why he turned down a full-time job offer from a Big Four firm upon graduating, which is absolutely crazy, you guys. We also cover how you can do the same as Justin if you have a passion you want to pursue. Finally, Justin talks about how the Get Your Grind Up movement began and how it's evolved into what it is today, along with the meaning behind the name of his podcast. All this and so much more coming in this episode. You don't want to miss it. Please leave a review and subscribe on iTunes and share the podcast with your friends. Also, please go follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Emerging Entrepreneurs Podcast. Now, without further ado, let's jump right in. Welcome back to Emerging Entrepreneurs, everyone. I apologize for the nasally voice. I'm getting over a cold. Today, we are here with Justin Nguyen from Get Your Grind Up and the Young and Dumb Podcast. Justin, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
What's going on, everyone? Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course, for sure. So just to get started, go ahead, tell the audience a little bit about yourself, what you do, and kind of your journey with Get Your Grind Up, how you got started with Get Your Grind Up, and kind of what you guys are up to now.
Yeah, so Get Your Grind Up is basically a movement to kind of help the traditional student out in school and in life. So we give out tips and tricks on how to succeed in school. So think of like studying tips, networking tips, and all that. Not just saying to study harder, not just saying to network more, but more of like showing you how to actually do it and giving you real tactical advice. So that's the more traditional route. And then with the untraditional route, so you think of like entrepreneurs, students dropping out of school, students dropping out of high school, college, esports, anything like that. We are showcasing these journeys through our podcast called Young and Dumb, where Dumb stands for dedicated, up and coming, motivated, and bold. So really our vision is to mold both the traditional and the non-traditional path to kind of showcase the students like, hey, if you want to go to school, great. School's a really good platform, but here's how you can actually do really well in school, be successful, get an internship, get an interview for a job, and get that job offer and work up the corporate ladder. But we also know that school is not for everyone. So if you have an untraditional path to success that you see for yourself, we can help you with that too.
All right, awesome. That is definitely a great description of what you guys do based off what I've seen from your guys' work so far. So talking about that untraditional path, I think that fits so well, especially interviewing you here. So you guys have a lot of guests on who have taken untraditional paths to their success and where they're at now. So talk a little bit about your path. You just graduated from UCF last semester, and talk a little bit about that experience at UCF, kind of what you discovered from going to college for 4 years, and then talk about, your story after graduating.
Yeah, definitely. So before we start with that, I want to kind of give a little bit more backstory on myself. Is I was born and raised in Connecticut. And when I was looking at colleges, I was kind of like, I don't really want to take exams and like have to trek through the snow and everything like that. So let's go to school in Florida. And when I was first moving down, since I didn't have in-state, I was like, let me do my first year at a private university, since just to try it out, and it's going to cost pretty much the same amount as a state school. So I actually went to University of Tampa my freshman year. And when I went to University of Tampa, you have to understand the environment that I grew up in Connecticut was, I live right next to one of the top 10 poorest capitals in the US, but I also lived in a neighborhood where I got to see the wealthy side too, but not too wealthy, but like upper middle class. When I went to University of Tampa, it was basically full of these very wealthy students, whether they were international or just Northeastern kids. And I'm talking like, if their parents die, they're inheriting $10, $20, $30 million. And like, one of my friends from our hallway, that my freshman hallway, was, we called him the Prince of the Bahamas because his grandfather founded the Bahamas. So he's like, his grandfather's like the George Washington of the Bahamas.
No way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's insane. So like, I was being able to see like the lifestyle of the very wealthy in front of me, and I was like, these kids are just like me. Why can't I do that? And that's when kind of the question of why not me, I started asking myself. So fast forward into like my sophomore, junior, and senior year, I transferred to UCF because I saved like $20,000 a year. So it was just a smarter decision there. But I always kept asking the question of like, why not me? So that's why the Get Your Grind Up movement started. That's why the Young and Dumb podcast started, because what I realized when I went to school with all of these very wealthy students is most of the wealth came from the parents, and their parents were usually involved in business. And growing up as an immigrant, business isn't really a path that you kind of get thrown down. When you're an immigrant kid, basically you've got three paths to go down: doctor, lawyer, and that's really about it. You're just kind of seen as a failure if you're not going down any of those. So when I saw that, I changed my major going into UCF to a finance major. And then from there is kind of the rest is history. I said no to a job offer at one of the big four accounting firms right out of graduation. My parents didn't necessarily agree with me at the time, but we can jump into a little bit of that later. But yeah, that's where I am today.
All right. So definitely an unconventional path. You talk about a student getting an offer, a business student getting an offer from one of the big four accounting firms, from Ernst & Young, and turning it down. So that's pretty crazy. That's a lot of money to turn down. You know, your first five-figure salary, you're gonna turn down, and probably in a couple of years it'd be six figures at some point. And you basically turn that down. So kind of talk about your thought process of turning that down, and then go into a little bit more of your parents' reaction to it and how they dealt with that.
Yeah, definitely. So I sat down, went through all the interview process, and was like, wow, I got the job offer. I had pretty much the dream job that I wanted out of graduation. But then I sat down and I really thought about it. And like, my mission and goal is to really help these students out, because I don't want them to kind of go down the same path as me and kind of feel so confused and have to fight so many different battles at the same time. So I wanted to help them out, and that was my real goal. So I was like, if I went down and took this consulting job, it's probably going to be minimal 40 hours a week. And that's very minimal. So probably more like 50 hours to 60 hours a week. And that's going to take a lot of time out of what I really want to do. Plus, I have a girlfriend, family, and everything like that. Like, it leaves very little time to do Get Your Grind Up in the podcast. So I was like, I don't really need a lot of money to live right now. I'm grateful I don't have any student debt. My gratitude, gratefulness out of my to my parents for being able to provide for me that way. And so I was like, all right, I don't need too much money to survive. Why don't I just say no to the corporate life right now? It's always going to be there, and just take a risk and do what I really want to do right now. Find a way to make money, find a way to make ends meet, but ultimately go 150% into Get Your Grind Up in the podcast, so that maybe by the end of the year it turns into something, but definitely in 5 to 10 years it will be something.
Yeah, for sure. And guys, if you're listening to this and you are all thinking about, as a 20-something year old right now, thinking about going and doing your own thing, and you don't want to work in corporate life, now is the time to do it, okay? And you don't have to listen to me. You know, I'm a college student still. You know, I'm just hosting this podcast kind of for fun right now. And I interview really great guests on the show. And it's not like I have this big business behind me that I'm making millions of dollars and that you guys should really be taking all this incredible advice from me. But I'm literally taking this advice from people who are making millions and billions of dollars, and they're saying the same exact thing. If you're going to take a risk, take it now. And I think that's super important. So, Justin, I really commend you on that, because that is a super bold move to make, turning down an offer like that and going after what you're really passionate about. And so I don't disagree with what you did at all. I'm exactly the same way. I would have done the same, and everybody around me would have called me and said, I'd have been like, you don't understand it, but you know,
I appreciate that. And it's crazy, 'cause like, I look back now, right, and I've seen a lot of my friends who have graduated, especially business students. And the craziest thing that I've seen is that they'll take a job making, let's just say, 30 to 40K. The thing is, you can make that money if you're like, if you work your way and do a waiting job and you're working 40 hours a week, you can make roughly 30 to 40K depending on the restaurant that you work at, how many hours you get, and how much time you're willing to put. When you're working a restaurant job and you're serving from, let's just say, 4 to 1 or 2 in the morning, then during the day, you have time to grind because the business world is working during the day, and you can take that time to put in 3, 4, 5, 6 hours of work towards whatever you're trying to do. And I've seen a lot of my friends sacrifice happiness for that quote unquote stability paycheck. And I'm like, you could have been making that same amount of money at a different job where it allowed you to do what you really wanted to do. And I don't know, it's just crazy to me when you actually sit down. Like, obviously people have bills to pay, people have student loan debt. But what I'm saying is, you could still pay that off while working like a waiting job or something. Just sit down really and like really take a look at the numbers, rather than just thinking that, oh, this corporate job is going to pay me $35,000 this year. That's all I could make, and that's the only job that would pay me for that. Like, no, $35,000 a year is like 17, 15 hour. There are a lot of jobs, if you're really working hard to get it, you can get that job that'll pay you that.
Yeah, I think that's super important. When you break it down into hourly wage, people see a salary and they think, oh my gosh, that's so much. But a lot of people don't think about, you know, what really is that hourly? And so if you work 40 hours a week at, you know, you can get paid $20 an hour at some jobs, depending on what you're doing. And you're making, you know, you're making more than you would at some salaried position. So, so I think that's super important to think about. And that's a good point that you bring up. So, transitioning in back into Get Your Grind Up and the Young and Dumb podcast. So kind of talk about Get Your Grind Up. Where did that get started? I know you told me a little bit about it before, about kind of how that little motto and slogan got started. And then, you know, talk about the team that you work with, your girlfriend and Gary, talk about them and what it's like working with them.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's kind of funny because it started off as a joke, right? As I'm Asian, and as the Asian stereotype goes, it's basically like, you're just smart. You're supposed to be naturally smart. You're supposed to get the 4.0, and that's just what's expected of you. But what people don't see is like, maybe I do have some sense of giftedness to me. I'm not going to deny that. It's not a bad stereotype to have, but I am putting a little bit more work in terms of studying, going to networking events to get these internships and everything like that. So on my Snapchat story, I would be like, hey guys, get your grind up at the end, or like, guys, at this networking event, get your grind up. And people started liking it. And so me, my girlfriend, and my best friend from back home were like, let's turn this into something serious where we can actually impact these students' lives. So that's what we did. And it's been about, seriously, probably like a year and a half-ish. And it's been wonderful working with both Michelle and Gary. Michelle is our DM goddess. She's the one who hits up like 100 to 200 people every single day, asking them to listen to the podcast or asking them to come on to the podcast, whatever it is. She's amazing at what she does. And then Gary is great too. Like, he's the one that helps us with a lot of our marketing stuff. He's more creative than I am. So a lot of the designs that you see on our social media page, that's mainly to Gary. And he's the one that's coming up with that, because he's like, yo, I got this design that I just came up with. And he's like, dude, that's dope. I would have never thought of that. And throw some pictures and some logos on it, and there, that's what we've got. So it's been wonderful to work with them, and it's been a learning experience, because it's kind of the first time that I've had to kind of manage people. I don't like saying the word manage, because we all work together, but like comparing it to interning, where you're just literally just following orders the whole time, it's a completely different thing, and it's something that school never really taught me about.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a really good point. So you were talking about Michelle, how, you know, she messages 100 to 200 people per day, which is an insane amount. Like, that is insane. I thought I messaged a lot of people to try to come on the podcast, but it's not even anything close to that. So kind of talk about that process. kind of talk about where do you find the people and how do you weed out people that you want on the podcast versus who you don't? Because sure, you can go find 100 or 200 entrepreneurs online, but that doesn't mean that they're worthy of being on the podcast, you know? So how do you guys go about doing that?
Definitely. So we try to avoid all the time of people that like are offering the courses or saying we can grow your following. Like we don't try to get those quote unquote entrepreneurs. We're trying to find the people who actually have like some credible success behind them, not just because we saw an Instagram ad about them. But so we first started off with kind of our network. So if you look at, I want to say like our first 30 to 40 episodes, those are generally close friends. And then once after the 40 episodes, we started getting referrals, or we would see someone on someone's Snapchat story. And since they're hanging out with someone, we probably know there's some credibility there that we've already interviewed and built a relationship. So then Michelle would go in and hit them up. Or for instance, people like King Vader, who has over 1 million followers on Instagram, or the Backpack Kid who created the Floss Dance. Those are just people that we've seen like on the news or seen videos of. So we're like, oh, they're pretty legit. Let's just want to have a conversation with them. So let's reach out and try to find a way of doing that. And to your point about like sending 100 to 200 DMs a day, like, yeah, that's a lot of DMs. When you really break it down, it's probably just a few more hours than you thought. So even if you're just taking 30 minutes to an hour every morning, and then 30 more minutes to an hour every night, just adding that 2 hours plus 2 hours plus 2 hours, that just kind of compounds itself into being able you to like build relationships with people and then get them on to the podcast eventually, or just have a conversation with them.
Yeah, for sure. So for you guys listening, Michelle is Justin's girlfriend, and you're like, holy crap. Like Justin said, DM goddess, like 100 to 200 people per day. Like, that's insane. But you got to understand, this lady bugged the shit out of Gary Vee for free tickets to a concert, or to a concert, to a conference in Orlando. And Gary Vee actually gave these people tickets. So that's where I first found out about Justin, is during a Q&A session with Gary Vee after he spoke. This kid came down with his girlfriend and asked him this question. Like, before he asked the question, basically just thanked him a bunch for giving him the free tickets and stuff. And all this, and Gary Vee was like, no, it's because your girlfriend bugged the shit out of me. And it was so funny. I was like, and I thought this kid was like from like California or somewhere far away, because like he got these free tickets and like got flown out here or something. I was like, wow, that's really cool. And then like the next week I saw him in my class, and I was like, wait, what? I was like, okay, never mind. But anyway, besides the point, with the podcast, the Young and Dumb podcast, at first thought, people are probably like, why the hell would you name your podcast that? That is the worst name for the podcast. So talk about the name for the podcast and the meaning behind it.
Yeah. So Young and Dumb stands for young, dedicated, up and coming, motivated, and bold. So we're thinking that we're interviewing people who kind of fit that mold, and we're able to showcase their stories. So people that are in school, especially high school and college, can kind of look at these journeys and be inspired that someone who looks like them and is of their same age has found some way of success, that maybe I can do it too. And honestly, going back and looking upon it now, it's a really clever name, but it kind of stinks for like podcast SEO and everything like that. So I wish we could have found a different way to like find a clever name, but we're sticking with it. And it seems to be working, because every time we mention it to someone, it kind of sticks with them. Like, oh, you're part of the, why would you name your podcast Young and Dumb? And I'm like, oh, because we're trying to change the age old stereotype of young being dumb, and like, especially millennials being lazy and entitled, and Gen Zers, of course. So we wanted to kind of put a spin on it. And instead of meaning dumb, it means dedicated, up and coming, motivated, and bold.
Sweet, man. I think that's the coolest name, honestly. I saw it at first, and I saw the abbreviation for dumb, and I was like, okay, what does this mean? Because this is the worst name ever. But then I saw it, and I was like, okay. Now, let's take a quick switch here. On LinkedIn, you're a LinkedIn god. And so this guy gets like thousands of views on his videos, and like hundreds of likes and like comments galore on his LinkedIn posts and stuff. And so I've started posting more, kind of trying to get up to that level. And I just really don't know how Justin did it. So for anybody listening that is looking to post on LinkedIn, or they're posting on LinkedIn right now and they're really not getting a lot of traction, just talk about how you got started and how you've been able to kind of create a following on there.
Yeah, so like people see my posts and get thousands of views, blah, 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 which is great. But the thing is that what people don't see is the past 6 to 8 months of me just networking on that platform, building relationships with some of the biggest voices on the platform, like Quentin alums or Mark Metry, and having being able to leverage them on our posts whenever like I'm posting about them or I have a podcast episode with them. If they comment on mine, then that kind of shoots my post out to their followers. So if you're just starting out on LinkedIn, be patient with it. It's just like any other platform. You're most likely not going to explode overnight. And that's a good thing, because if you're able to stick it out, then you know you're in it for the right reasons. You shouldn't be in it for the views. You shouldn't be in it for the comments. You should be in it for more of providing people value. And the big switch for me, at least when I started getting more consistently good amount of views, was when I made the mindset switch of it's not what I perceive as value, but it's more of what my followers perceive as value. So when I started looking back at like my content, the things when I was trying to be selfish and either ask them to listen to the podcast or anything like that, those never worked out as best as when I was just like ranting about something that happened to me today, because then people resonate with that more and they're like, oh, that's happened to me before. I know how you feel, Justin. Like, thank you so much for telling your story because I agree with you and things like that. So the best piece of advice that I would give to anyone creating content on LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, anywhere is A, be patient. And B, take a step back and look at it from your viewer's perspective. Are you providing value to them, or are you providing value to yourself? Because there's a difference.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of times people go on there and they'll post something and they're writing in terms of, oh, what do I think, is going to get the most likes or views or something like that. And, it's just like any other social media. People, want to see a lot of likes on their posts and stuff. They feel like then it's meaningful and people get a lot of meaning out of that. And so I think that's super important. Providing value is the number one thing there. Talk about for, any of the audience members that are listening right now, kind of your advice on back what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode. It's that time where it's better to take risks than later on when you've already secured some kind of income and you're used to that income. You might have a family later on, anything like that. Talk about taking the risk now and give a few points for when you think that somebody should go ahead and take that leap rather than waiting. Like, what do you think are some signs and things like that, I guess.
Yeah, so at least for me, I feel like I knew I was going to say no to the job offer, but it was more of convincing myself that it's okay to say no to the job offer, because kind of my whole life, it was programmed into me like, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go to school for 21 to 22 years. You're going to work hard, get good grades, and then ultimately you're going to get a job offer and you're going to accept it. That's the only route to you. But my advice to people out there is always keep an open mind. Whether it's anything that's happening in your life, keep an open mind and always be curious. And that's kind of what led me to the entrepreneurial route. Like, I didn't even know that entrepreneurs were like a thing. I just thought businessmen were people who just sold stuff to you. When I started diving deeper and I started looking up people's journeys on YouTube, I started looking into Mark Cuban's story. I looked into Gary Vee's story, Lewis Howes' story, all these amazing people and successful people. And I was like, they're all business people. They're not in the corporate world. So let me dive deeper into this. So that dove me deeper into like, oh, they went to school, but they didn't use their degree. And then like, oh, blah, 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 blah. So it just kind of it's me being curious led me to different paths that I didn't even know were available to me. And that's my advice to everyone in front of you. Like, let's just say you're really interested in basketball. You can genuinely make a ton of money talking about basketball on the internet if you're willing to put in the time and work. Like, I know a kid, he's probably either 20 or 21 now. We had him on the podcast, and he's been building this Instagram page since he was, I think, 12 or 13. And it's just him reposting basketball clips onto his Instagram account. It's called @Dunk. And through all of his media accounts, they have a combined following of over 10 million followers. And because of that, he can get courtside seats to basically any basketball game he wants.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. He gets sent sponsorships and
what the hell?
And now he's starting like social media consulting because obviously people want to know like why, like how do you get so many followers? He actually interned under Gary Vee and that's kind of how we found him too. But that's what I mean. Like if you have a passion, it might take you time. It might take you 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Who knows how long it's going to take. But if you're willing to put 3, 4, 5 hours every single night into it, it can actually become something. And that's what I want to show to especially the younger generation. Because let's say you're a junior in high school and you want to be an esports gamer, right? Start grinding now. By the time you end college, you go down the college route, even though you might not know that it's right for you. By the time you end college, you'll be 5 years deep, 6 years deep into it, and you'll know if you truly like the esports realm and if you're really going to put in the time and effort into it, just like Ninja did. If you look into Ninja's story, he was gaming for 6 to 8 years, like professionally before he became, quote unquote, the ninja that we know today. He went to school, he dropped out, and then he went back. And then he dropped out officially, but only after he made, I think, 6 figures. So that's what I'm telling you guys. Like, yes, Ninja might seem like an overnight success, but I assure you, if you look into his journey, you'll be like, damn, that kid put in time and effort into it.
I think that's super important. I think that's the biggest number one thing with, you know, I guess if you want to call it the new age of entrepreneurs now. And Gary Vee talks about that a lot. And he talks about how, you know, when he started back in the 90s, entrepreneurship wasn't cool. And now it's quote unquote cool. Mm-hmm. And so besides, you know, that factor of time and everything, what do you think the biggest difference between people who are truly entrepreneurs and people who are just wannabe entrepreneurs are?
I think it comes down to when you start to actually like have an in-person conversation to them. It's very easy to fake it over the phone. It's very easy to fake it through texting or DMing. But when you actually hop onto a face-to-face phone call, you can generally see their facial expressions and you can really see their motivations. I've seen a lot of people, I've seen someone pitched me a social media growth idea and he's an entrepreneur, right? So I was like, all right, let me just take the call. He starts off the call wanting to pitch me. And I think the program was $5,000 or $2,500 a month, right? And I was like, all right, bro, I'm a college student. There's no way I can pay that. There's no way. And
he's not like, a chance.
He's like, okay. I completely understand. We can drop the price to $250 a month. And I'm like, wait. So you're telling me you just went from $5,000 to $250?
Yeah.
What entrepreneur A does that? Because A, he hasn't done the research probably to know his price range. Yeah. B, you're probably just trying to sign me so you can get money. You'll probably take me on for $50 a month or $10 a month. Yeah,
literally.
Because that to me is crazy. And when you start having these types of phone calls, you really get to know who's there for, who's there to actually help people and provide people value versus the people who are there for the quick buck and trying to do it. Also, another thing, like I also interned at a startup and the startup was for the nutrition field and they would literally just figure out whatever is popping on Amazon, buy it, slap their label on it, and they knew SEO very well. Granted, they know how to sell things, but when I spoke with the CEO, he didn't really give me any time of day. And then later on, it was more of like when they had like a nutritionist come in, or like, I don't want to say nutritionist, but like someone to kind of critique them, I guess, if you want to call it that. And they're like, oh, have you tested this? Blah, 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 blah. They're like, no, we haven't. We don't really need to because it's a supplement. And technically you don't because it's a supplement. So you start to actually see these things start to unravel of who's just there for the quick buck versus who's actually there to help people. And yes, I guess the classic term of an entrepreneur is someone who can sell something, but I think there's always a little bit more deeper for the people who are actually successful in it.
Yeah. I think especially now it's not about just being able to sell your own product. It's about who's helping people the most and who's helping the most amount of people as well.
Oh, I want to touch on something too, in terms of the time thing. People always say like, oh, I want to be a YouTuber. Oh, I want to be in esports. I looked at the stat. Ninja made, I think, $10 million last year. They say that he averaged 4,000 hours, or he played 4,000 hours of Fortnite. Just Fortnite. Not any other game, just Fortnite.
Yeah.
I don't know many people who are willing to put 4,000 hours into anything in their life.
Yeah, that's
not
insane.
Not even sleep.
I don't know how that dude's eyes haven't fallen out of his head.
He knows what he's doing, but I mean, if he enjoys it, he enjoys it, and he's getting paid he's getting compensated very well.
Yeah.
But to me, that's insane, because I don't think I know very many people who are willing to put that many hours into something that they quote unquote love.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, is the sign of a true entrepreneur who's willing to do that, not just taking the vacation because that's what it paid for.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to wrap this up here pretty soon. I want to ask you just a couple more questions. So for anybody who is getting ready to, you know, start their own business, they're thinking about it, they think they have an idea or anything like that, or they've just started and they really are kind of stuck and they don't really know where to go, kind of talk about it as an entrepreneur, kind of talk about, give them some advice on, you know, what their next steps are, and kind of, you know, if they're in a rut or anything like that, how they can keep pushing through.
Yeah, I would say find your cornerstone moment. And this is kind of a term that I've learned about when I started watching the show Westworld. And basically what that means is like, find the moment where there was a switch in your head that allowed you to start either working harder in something or starting to grind more, whether it was getting good grades or working harder for the soccer team or whatever it may be. For instance, for me, it was learning about my parents' journey, specifically my grandparents' journey over to the US from Vietnam. And so I think I was in ninth or 10th grade, and it was my grandfather's, I want to say 60th birthday. And my aunt wanted me to do more research on him. I found out that this man escaped Vietnam. He tried to escape two times prior and got thrown in jail twice. He got caught. So he had to split up his family. And from that, he came over to the US, didn't know English, and he graduated college in 2 years with not just any degree, but an engineering degree. And with that, he's had numerous patents under his names. Like, he created one of the first fans for computers and everything like that. And to me, when I look at that journey and I'm like, shit, why am I sitting here complaining because my Wi-Fi is slow? Why am I sitting here complaining because I want more time playing Xbox? Like, my grandparents literally came over here with nothing. And because my parents have also worked hard, they've been able to allow me to not have to pay for college. So I have no excuse. And that's kind of my cornerstone moment of like looking back into my grandparents' journey of like, wow, the amount of work that they put in, I have no excuse. So what I would do is look into your journey. Obviously, you might not have a journey where your parents are refugees or anything like that. But there's always a turning point in everyone's life, I feel. And I think by being curious, you'll find that. And so if you're stuck, just keep searching, whether it's YouTube, whether it's, and even if it's not your journey, find someone else's journey that kind of inspires you. And that's what I would do.
Sweet. Awesome, man. I love it. So one last question before I ask it though, I just want to say how much I appreciate you taking the time to do this interview with me. Know we had some technical difficulties before, but that's all right. We got it this time. So just want to say how much I appreciate you, man. Really love what you're doing. I get so many ideas just from looking at, you know, your podcast and your Instagram page and stuff. So been a huge help so far in the past couple months that I've known you and stuff, and really love looking at, you know, your social media and listening to the guests that you guys have on the podcast, and just looking forward to the new guests that you guys have on, because it's always somebody interesting that I really like just wouldn't have even thought of. So, really admire you for what you're doing and for the podcast and everything, man.
Yeah, thank you. No, I appreciate that. And in terms of technical difficulties, man, it happens to all of us. So yeah. It's a journey, it's a grind, but at the end of the day, when you're able to get to the other side of the tunnel, that's when you get to look back and like, I made it. So just keep on grinding, man. It'll come.
Yeah, for sure, man. Also, one last thing, sorry. Really yeah. Looking forward to working with you on the project at UCF and everything. Justin is going to be starting some LinkedIn workshops on UCF's campus. Luckily enough, I'll be able to help him out with that. So really looking forward to that, man. Really looking forward to working together for the next few months.
Yeah, man. It's gonna be an amazing project we got in the works. So hopefully we can get it all done. It's gonna be a lot of hard work, but I think we got the right people on the team now. So yeah. We'll see.
Definitely, for sure. If you're a UCF student listening to this, look out for LinkedIn workshops coming up later on in the semester or early next semester even. So Justin, my last question for you is the three truths question. I know I've asked you it before, but for anybody listening to the podcast for the first time, I just want to go over this with you so you guys know what the heck is going on and what this is. So the three truths is just a hypothetical scenario where it's your last day on earth and you get to choose your last day. And basically after this, you know, you go out and you die and you've accomplished everything that you've ever wanted to, all the goals that you set for yourself, you've crushed them, you know, any and all people that you've wanted to help, you've been able to help, and basically just anything you've ever wanted to do, you accomplished it. But for some reason at the end of your last day, once you pass away, everything that you've ever created or done will be erased and nobody will have anything to remember you by except for the three things that you write down on the piece of paper next to you. So what are your three truths?
I forgot what I said last time, but number one would be kindness. I think it's the number one thing that you can be in the world, whether it's to your family, your friends, your loved ones, whoever. I think being kind pays its way in the future. Like, I've gotten so many podcast interviewees because we were just trying to help each other out. And they're like, oh, you should meet up with this person. You should meet up with this person. And it's literally just providing value and never expecting anything in return. Like, I don't do something for someone because like, oh, maybe they'll introduce me to this other person. Like, no, like, it's just, I want to be helpful to you. I wanted you to achieve the next level of success. So I'm going to help you. And then if you do help me out, so be it. That's amazing. If not, okay, I'm not going to cry a river either. So number one would be kindness. Number two, I would say would be a smile. I think that's the number one thing that you can ever give to someone is a smile, because you never know the type of day that the other person or what they're going through. So I try to always, whenever someone looks at me, especially, it's interesting moving from growing up in the North and then living now in Florida for the past 4 or 5 years, it's been interesting to see how many more people smile in Florida compared to the Northeast. And it's like, whenever I go back up there, I try to smile to everyone and like, the grocery stores and everything like that. And they just give me like a stare, like, what are you doing? Why are you smiling? I'm like, I'm just trying to be happy. Just trying to spread the wealth of happy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting, but, I would say, smiling for number two. And then for number three, I would say just being kind, smiling. I'm going to be a little selfish on the last one. And I'm going to say, I'll be a little selfish. I'm going to say that people looked at me and they were always like mystified of like, how did he know that? And I want people to remember that, because I want people to also remember the reason I was so mystified and like, how did he know that? Because I put in so much time and effort. Like, yes, the reason that I have the successful podcast and this movement and everything like that is because I've put in hours upon hours upon hours of like researching YouTubers, researching interviewers, researching how to do a podcast, everything like that. But people don't see that. I don't put that really on my social media, like maybe a little bit to do the Get Your Grind Up stuff, but not all of it. And like, I can tell you like the back of my hand, Lewis Howard's story. I can tell you Mark Cuban's story. I can tell you Gary V's journey from beginning to end. And that's the type of work that it takes to be, I feel like, successful. That's everything that I've picked up, is like the reason Gary Vee seems like he's always a step ahead of everyone, especially in the social media game, is because he does hours upon hours upon hours of practical work. He doesn't necessarily do research and reading, but he'll try it out. He'll test it out before just saying no or saying yes.
Love it, man. Those three are awesome. So if we want to connect with you, how can we best do with that?
Best place to connect with me is on LinkedIn. My name is Justin Nguyen, N-G-U-Y-E-N. And then if you want to follow anything podcast and Get Your Grinder related, everything is going to be on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Get Cho Grind Up. So G-E-T-C-H-O-G-R-I-N-D-U-P.
Awesome, man. Love it. Justin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. I really appreciate it. Guys, we will see you in the next episode.
For you college students out there, take note. It's okay to take an unconventional path like Justin did if that's what you really want. Make sure you guys connect with Justin on LinkedIn. Also, support him and his podcast on Instagram at GetShowGrindUp. Links to everything of his will be down in the description, so be sure to check that out. If you're new to the podcast, be sure to head to the website by clicking the link in the description or by going to emergingpodcast.com. There you can find all the podcast episodes, my blog, and my Create Your Own Podcast course. Please, if you've enjoyed the podcast thus far, leave a rating and review on iTunes. If you haven't already, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Emerging Entrepreneurs Podcast. Thank you again so much for tuning in to this episode of Emerging Entrepreneurs. Now, it's your time to emerge.